Wow, it's an arms race.
I was actually waiting for you guys to come on. I didn't want
Don't
to,
wait for us. Don't wait
harsher
for us.
mellow, Ed,
Competition is good. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to IBD Live, where we help you make more money in the stock market every day. I'm Ed Carson, news editor at IBD, and with me today is Ken Shreve, senior markets writer, fellow co-host, very active in on IBD Live. David Saito Chung, deputy markets editor, also IBD Live co-host, co-host and as and IBD leaderboard, specialist. Chris Gessel, chief content officer. Good morning, everyone.
Good
Good morning.
morning.
Hey, Econ
Yeah. David Ryan has the week off, I'm sure you'd probably be saying things aren't looking super hot. I think he's so, but I think you can imagine some of the things he'd be saying. But it'll be good to have him back next week. I'm not sure what day he'll be on next week, but that's where he is today. Please leave your comments and questions below. We'll try to get to as many as possible. We do have a number of people in dark ops this morning, including Mike Webster and Ali Quorum. Just remember that we can't answer any questions that reflect your individual situation, needs, or objectives. Please check out investors.com/IBDLiveFAQ. A lot of great information there. Find the industry group spreadsheet that Justin often goes over early in the week, a link to that. And upcoming guests, a lot of great information. Just remember that IBD Live is for informational purposes only. Any stocks we cover should not be considered buy or sell recommendations. Please do your own research. And with that, Ken, thank you for joining us today. And what would you like to take a look at?
I think I'm going to take a look at a stock that's kind of giving a mixed picture. Love the 7 week consolidation on the weekly chart for ticker symbol AA. The daily chart shows a lot of distribution, but so we'll take a look at ticker AA, and it's kind of a mixed picture, but look forward to going over the technicals.
Great. Chris, what do you have your eye on?
I want to take a look at Vertiv, VRT, as the ticker.
All right. And Hatman, what would you like us to analyze?
Yesterday, one of our good friends on the show, Karen, highlighted a stock that we unfortunately didn't get to, STOK. That's Stoke Therapeutics. And I admit I don't know much about the actual fundamentals of the company. It's experimental stage, but the chart is interesting. So I wanted to do a little mini deep dive on the chart action.
That sounds good. Yeah, that has come back. There's some big moves as biotechs often do, but it's definitely looking good right now. Let me share my screen and let's take a look. SPY down a little bit, bound down a fraction, fell below the 50-day line yesterday. Dow futures, I think, were up just 0.1. That one tumbled through the 50-day line yesterday. Qs. Those are up 0.2, 0.3. Obviously, that did not have to drop, but that was already below the 50-day line for the last few weeks. IWM, I think that might be up a fraction, down a fraction. Interesting to see if that can hold above the 50-day line. The 10-year treasury yield, that might be up just a smidge, 4.04, but it's basically at the lowest levels, in almost 3 months. It seems to be safe haven flows and some, just general jitters from things on that. Crude oil up a little bit. There's a lot of things going on. State of the Union address tonight, and that'll be maybe more about tariffs, but you don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen today. So I think that's one thing that's going on there. Bitcoin really struggling. That's below 63,000. So it may not hit a low, but it might be end up being like a closing low, kind of thing. That may be what we're talking about for the lowest sense. The end of late 2024. So that's where Bitcoin is. Gold, I think, is down, down somewhat. I'm not sure why, but obviously made a big safe haven move the last couple of days. And I think silver was relatively flat. No, that one's down too now. Okay. That's also the Bitcoin ETF, and that might be different from the futures because the futures close at 10:30 Pacific, as opposed to when the ETFs close, obviously, with the market. A lot of other news out there. The December Case-Shiller home price index for December, that was 1.4% versus a year earlier. That's what people were expecting, and that's unchanged for November. We're going to get the consumer confidence index for February at 10 o'clock Eastern. That's supposed to rise to 88 from 84.5. Okay, so the new Trump global tariff, which does have a lot of exceptions, but the new global tariff, he had said it was 10% on Friday. Then he announced on Friday, Saturday, it's going to be 15. Well, today it came into effect at 10%. So I'm not sure when it's going to go up to 15%, but it's 10% as of today. So I don't know what's going on there. The Wall Street Journal overnight was saying that the Trump administration is considering new national security tariffs on a bunch of things, like power grid and telecom equipment, large-scale batteries, and some other industries. He's already used Section 232, these national security tariffs on steel and aluminum, copper, cars, trucks, and auto parts. So those weren't affected by the Supreme Court ruling last week. So that's going to happen. Again, the State of the Union, presumably we'll hear, we very well may hear about some of his plans for new tariffs and so on. And that'll be, obviously in prime time after individual stock trading is closed. All right, at right about now, or in a couple of minutes, we're going to get Anthropic is going to have an enterprise agent event. And of course, Anthropic has devastated several sectors or among that, but just announcing we've got this little tool that we came up, we spent a couple of minutes on, and so we'll see how that goes. And will they announce more stuff, or will this be a by the rumor kind of news where finally software or other things go up? I don't know. Intuit is up because they announced a multi-year partnership with Anthropic on tax stuff. But obviously, this has sold off so much in the last several weeks, just this last several weeks, let alone from October or from July. So that is out there. ASMR Sports, this is off its lows. It was down more. It beat View's 28% revenue gain, but it guided low on Q1 and 2026 EPS, even though it was slightly higher on revenue. I don't know if there's something about margins or if what's going on, because they were able to hold up pretty well with the tariffs because they had pretty high-end stuff. Home Depot beat View's 4% revenue decline. Comps were up 0.4%. Guided fractionally lower on EPS at the midpoint, slightly lower on sales, so it's still up. I'm not sure what it is on there. There was a 1% dividend hike. BWXT, this is a strong-looking stock, or it was better before, was beat views 19% revenue gain, guided up on 2026. It'll have a new base after this week on it there. NRG, I don't know how this did versus views, but 13% revenue gain, reaffirmed some guidance. So there's that. CEG, Constellation Energy, beat views, 13% revenue gain. So that's up. We'll also get Vistra and Talen Energy, a couple other nuclear powered or nuclear somewhat powered utilities. AMD, this is a big winner before the open, though it is coming off highs. It's announcing collaborating with Meta. So they're going to sell tens of billions of dollars worth of chips for Meta's AI infrastructure. This comes a week after Meta did the same kind of thing with NVIDIA. But what's also different with this deal, I don't know if it's bigger or not, but Meta will also get warrants to buy up to 160 million shares of AMD, and that'll come in stages, and those will vest when some projects or AMD stock price hits certain milestones. We also saw some other things. TSM, which of course makes chips for everybody, TSM was up maybe on this news. Anet maybe up on this news, not just because, oh yeah, there's just AI spending, but anything that isn't NVIDIA. And NVIDIA was the Meta NVIDIA deal also included some stuff that was like crouching in on Arista's turf. So Meta's not ruling, not knocking in Anet entirely out, because then remember, Meta is one of Anet's number top customers. So they really, really need Meta to stick with Anet. Cerebras is an AI chip maker, which obviously competes with NVIDIA and AMD. They have confidentially filed for an IPO, the information reported. They had a few several months ago were planning on it, were getting near it, but backed away. Information says that IPO could happen on April. UCTT, Ultra Clean, a chip equipment maker, just missed on EPS, just beat on revenue with a 10% drop. I don't know what guidance was like. This is down, but it's obviously gone up a lot. Intel is going to invest in AI chip startup Samba Nova Systems as part of a $350 million funding round for that startup. Intel CEO Lip-Bu Tan serves as Samba Nova chairman, and there was talk a few months ago about maybe buying Samba Nova, but that hasn't happened. Kratos Defense, beat views, 22% revenue gain, guided low on Q1 revenue, maybe slightly higher for 2026 revenue at the midpoint. JP Morgan sees net interest income at $104.5 billion, had seen $103, sees markets revenue growth in the mid-teens for Q1. The CFO said JP Morgan is cautiously optimistic about 2026, talked about a macroeconomic backdrop that remains supportive and the consumer remains resilient. I know JP Morgan's Diamond made some comments about AI, and he's made some comments here and there. I don't think JP Morgan has done that much. That's really just reflecting yesterday. It's maybe just down a little bit. Yeah, there we go. Citi is going to sell its 24% Banamex stake, the big, you know, big Mexican bank, for $2.5 billion. It's selling it to a bunch of buyers, none of which are buying more than 5%. BioMarin missed views, missed on EPS, beat on revenue, 17% revenue, guided EPS lower, revenue in line. PRIM, Primoris, heavy equipment maker, beat views, 12% revenue gain, but there was something bad. This was trading lower. I don't know what was, so we haven't seen it, but it was significantly lower before the open. I don't know what the, there we go. Down 15%. AWI, Armstrong, missed views, 5.5% revenue gain. JPTM, this has been doing pretty well. Beat views, slightly beat on revenue, 114% gain that I had seen. This is 116, but guidance, not sure what that was like. Cypher, this is one of those Bitcoin miners turned AI plays. This one, I mean, Bitcoin's down. Cypher missed by a lot on EPS, missed on revenue. It's not doing too bad all in all. Seaco missed badly on EPS, beat on revenue 35%, upped its guidance. They also are going to buy Thermon Group, which is THR, Thermon Group for $2.2 billion. Shoals missed on EPS, beat on revenue, guidance was weak, so this one's really getting whacked. DOCN, DigitalOcean, this is one software name that had been doing relatively well, obviously hadn't had a good couple of days. Beat views, guided low on Q1 2026 EPS significantly, guided slightly higher on revenue. I don't know all the details. Maybe there's something in there that explains why there's a big cut and it's really not so bad. Keysight, Keys, beat view, slightly beat on revenue, 23%, guided well up on Q2. Didn't include any potential impact from tariff changes. Fang, Diamondback Energy, missed views, beat on revenue, 9% drop, up its dividend by 5%. OKE, One Oak, slightly beat on EPS. XMTR, beat views, 29.5% revenue gain, guided up on Q1 revenue, but this one, I guess, is down at the right now. Allison Transmission, ALSN, missed on EPS, beat on revenue. Novo Nordisk, bunch of news here. Of course, yesterday their drug didn't do very well for their next gen drug. Well, today they're going to slash the U.S. list prices. According to Wall Street Journal, they're going to cut its weight loss and diabetes drugs by up to half starting in 2027. And also, Novo said it has a China obesity drug, had positive phase 2 trial results. This is one of these triple fighters, you know, going after weight loss with three ways, which I think is what Lilly's next generation pill do. It's a team up with United Biotechnology, which is a Chinese firm. Hims, beat views, in line on revenue, guided low on Q1 revenue, and guided slightly higher in 2026 revenue, but that assumes that they'll still be able to do the copycat sales. Taurus, wider than expected loss, 128% revenue gain beat, sees more than 50% revenue growth in 2026. SHC, I'm sorry, I just going on and on. Beat views, missed on revenue by a lot, 8.5%, guided up on 2026. GE Aerospace has tapped Palantir to do something with boosting the readiness of its T-38 training fleet. Warner Brothers confirmed that it got a higher bid from Paramount Skydance, so they'll review it. I think there's a lot of thinking that Paramount Skydance, for a variety of reasons, would have a bit easier time with regulatory reviews. Owl, one of the companies that's gotten really hit with private equity, well, Deutsche Bank downgraded it to a hold, cut it to price target to a street low 10, DPZ. JP Morgan upgraded overweight after its strong earnings. Sorry. And after the close, we will get Workday, see some more stuff about how the software name is. And then tomorrow morning, we will get Medline. That's when people are paying attention. We'll also get Ionis, and we'll also get Lowe's. And all right. So I know it's almost time for closing thoughts, but Chris, what are your opening thoughts?
Well, you know, y yesterday was interesting in that. So if you look at QQQ and then QQQE, so we were down, you know, about 1% yesterday, and QQE was down like 1.45%, something like that.
Yeah, 1.45,
And
yeah.
yeah, and then let's look at SPY and RSP. So SPY was down about 1%, and so I think RSP was, you know, in the same ballpark. So yesterday it wasn't, I mean, everything was getting hit, and it wasn't one of those days where, oh, it's really, you know, mag seven and everything else is fine. So lots of stuff you know, getting hurt. I was hedging with SQQQ, and I'm gonna do it again right now.
It's doing fine today, yeah.
So yeah, and trying to do this earlier in the day rather than waiting till the bottom. But you know, we'll see how it goes here. The you know, it's there's not a lot of things, you know, to buy right now, and I'm just you know, the few things that are working, I'm holding on to them. I'm not adding to them right now. And just, you know, waiting for this market to resolve itself one way or the other. Is it going to, you know, consolidate and then break out, or is it just going to break down and continue on? I think the worst thing is this back and forth, because it draws you in and then you get whacked, and then, you know, that's the toughest part right now.
Yeah, and I would just say even the stuff that's going up, like RSP or other things, it's like, you know, if you bought a week or so ago when the market turned up again, just say you bought, you know, you're down off of those things. You know, it's like
Yeah.
it's just that 2 days up, 2 days down, or 3 days up, 3 days down just makes it very hard with any new buys. I mean, some work, and you know, you know, but a lot of them are not. So, Hatman, how are you handling things? You know, like with this kind of difficult environment.
Well, any new position that I'm putting on, it's much smaller in scope, and I think Chris did a good job talking about that yesterday. And it's still a market where if you select the right sector and the right industry, I think there is some potential for gains, but obviously a little more risk. It's like, Ed, have you already used an analogy of when you're on a when you're hiking on a mountain, and the trail gets thinner and thinner and thinner, and you want to keep on pushing, and you want to see that beautiful view, but you're taking more risk? It
Yeah,
feels
it's a good one.
a little bit like that. Do you like that? Do you like that
I
analogy?
do like that. I do like that. I mean,
I was trying to channel your creativity. But
yeah.
I think it, and to that end, I want to give a shout out to Larry, on who's been on our show a long time. And he in the Q&A highlighted to me, and I missed it yesterday because I was on Dark Ops. But nonetheless, I want to talk about this just briefly. Take a look at the two pages on Market Surge, NASDQ on the daily. And this shows you the 10-day average of new highs and new lows. And really, once again, appreciate Larry's sharp eye on noticing that the 10-day moving average for both the new highs and the new lows is falling. You can kind of see a similar trait with the New York Stock Exchange side. And we can put in NYEXG, NYEXG. There we go. Perfect. And so clearly, the bullish tilt is still On the NYSE side, you can see that in that blue line, the 10-day moving average of new highs. On the left side, you can see 213 new highs on average over the past 10 days, nearly quadrupled the number of new lows. And so I think this kind of affirms our argument that yes, there are areas to be bullish. There are reasons not to go to 0-20% exposure. We've been at 40-60, and I don't want to say we're going to put a padlock on that for a long time, but let's go now to the actual NASDAQ. I was looking at this last night. I had some time in between Mad Men episodes. I'm trying to catch up with 1990s and 2000s TV. And in between those episodes, I was looking at the NASDAQ. I was like, you know what's interesting about this chart on the daily is that while the actual NASDAQ is below all of the main moving averages we look at, is very similar to what we saw during that brief bear market of 2025, from late February to late April. You notice that, okay, we've had, I believe, nearly 3 weeks in which we've traded below the 50-day, and we haven't touched the 200-day yet, at least yet. That 200-day is moving up, and maybe we'll have a meeting of the minds there. But you can contrast that with February, March, and April. To me, it didn't take much time for the NASDAQ to take out that 200-day moving average. So while we have still an elevated distribution day count, I feel like the decline has been met with a lot more friction. And for that reason, I think there's a little more strength in the market than we possibly think. But still, obviously, a lot of risk out there. Tom in the Q&A asked us to look at XMTR, Xometry, pronounced with a Z, thanks to Eagle Eye calling the company. It is Xometry. And you look at Xometry, here's a good example of how treacherous it's been. This is a stock that kind of slipped off the trail, tried to go to new highs, and immediately got whacked, ahead of earnings. You see that 3-day slide and forced new buyers to get out. But at the same time, this is a stock that's had a nice long uptrend. So for those who have a nice gain and the stock shows real, strong support around that 200-day, actually someone with a nice gain and real conviction in a company like Xometry might actually find some buy points in the near future.
Yeah, we'll see how this one handles today. So that one, obviously, it's an unpleasant move to start the day. Chris, let's start off with AMD. Just I want to see how this. Wow, this
Okay.
one's not nearly as high. This one was probably up like right around the 50-day line at one point in the
I didn't give
pre-market.
my thoughts yet, Ed,
Oh,
actually,
Ken,
but no, that's okay.
I knew I was doing something wrong.
But
You
I was
know,
on
I am
yesterday
just.
too, and I'm yeah, that's okay. I'm going to be
I'm
on
working on I'm working on Kenny Rogers' level of sleep kind of thing, like Kenny Rogers.
the.
I did not that did not work well.
It was because
Ken.
I was blabbering so long. I took a little bit of Ken's airtime. Sorry, Ken. That was my fault.
That's okay.
Ken,
But I
do
was
I
on yesterday too, and I'll just basically say what I say yesterday. I mean, leaderboard is about 50% invested, and that's pretty much in line with where we're at, right on the home page, between 40 and 60%, and it's kind of right in line with Ahmad and my own portfolio here. So it's been a good start to the year for leaderboard. We're pretty much right in line with small caps year to date, up about 5%. Watching Amer Sports, which had a better than expected earnings report, encouraged to see it getting some support at the 50-day moving averages. Better than expected earnings. Their Q1 guidance, at least in terms of earnings, was a little bit below expectations. They guided Q1 revenue a little bit above. So we'll see how the stock is trading, but encouraged to see the stock off lows. It is a little bit above our cost basis, so we'll watch how this one trades today. It's been a little bit erratic since we added it to the leaders list on December 9th, but we'll watch how this trades today, but you can see the bottom line growth and top line growth was there in Q4. But yeah, this market is tough. I know we just looked at the Nasdaq composite. Just recently the Nasdaq corrected about 7.5% off its high, but the pullback for the S&P 500, believe it or not, from its recent high, only about 3% off its recent high. So even though market conditions are challenging here, I think it does feel good to be to have some cash on hand. Like I said yesterday, there are some opportunities, but I think you have to be nimble, and if you have profits, you have to be quick on the trigger because they can disappear quickly. So I've been trading more than I usually do. I'm normally a position trader, but I'm okay being flexible in this market because it's been a little more volatile than usual. But some opportunities to profit, you just have to be you have to be have to be nimble.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely have to be nimble. If you're not nimble, then you probably should not be doing too much. I mean, you might hold your longer term investments, but if you aren't ready to step out, this is not one to buy and then walk away from. You have to be active on that. Let's see here, Chris. Let's get over to AMD. Not as interesting as I thought it would be at one point, but
Right.
But AMD, big deal with Meta, but still coming down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I rarely buy anything below the 50-day, and already it's getting resistance at the 21-day. So I just think this is something that it could set up that big gap down on earnings is a problem I don't like. I'd rather see this get back up to a new high and prove itself before playing it. So this one is really not anything that I'm looking to trade anytime soon.
Yeah, I can understand that. And we'll have NVIDIA earnings tomorrow, and obviously that is huge, David, that one. And just an absolutely
Oh
crucial
yes.
report.
Oh yes. Still a significant position on leaderboard. Still my largest position, and trying to see all the possible angles that are going to be addressed in this company. We have a great upcoming option story from Gavin McMaster. I did a sneak preview of it, and I'm sure Ken's going to take a close look at it too, but it highlights the fact that right now options traders think the expected move is going to be limited, in fact, to around 6%. I don't know whether that's still sticking this morning, but that would imply a move up or down that's still within the base. And that's kind of what I would expect after a very, very long and strong move by this company. What do you think, Ed?
I mean, I have no idea. It can go a whole lot of things. I mean, this can happen. It's definitely happened. Despite, look, this earnings line went crazy, and so, but there have been stretches where this stock sort of goes nowhere. I mean, obviously, the last year was a little different because you could have bought in here, but still sideways. There was a long stretch. I mean, basically a year before
Absolutely.
it fundamentally got above the mid 2024 high. So, I mean, you can say, well, the earnings are. It's like, guess what? I mean, it might not. The other thing is that NVIDIA's had a tendency to have reverse lower on earnings. We've seen that a couple of times, or it surges or jumps or it comes up and then falls. Like, so this one worked, but even this was tough. It jumps, comes off highs, then gives up all the gain, then takes off. So, don't be whatever the overnight pre-markets overnight or the opening thing, don't get too excited by that. I mean, you just that would just be something to watch out for.
I would assume that the tech team is going to have live
I
coverage
believe
of
so. I
the
believe so. I haven't.
report plus a conference call.
They've
Yeah.
done that before, and so I would imagine so. It's such an important report, and what they'll also say. Ken, speaking of things that are maybe you should be careful about early openings. BWXT is up, but it's not anywhere near where it was in the first few seconds. Half-life breakout.
No.
Yeah, I mean, and you can just tell by the way, I mean, just looking at the prior trading history of this stock that it can, it can whip around. It's known for volatile swings. So it's important to know a stock's trading personality, trading history. So also a good idea to watch how a stock trades during the first half hour. I make no secret of the fact that I like to, usually wait for a while and just see how trading plays out. So if you had bought this one during the first 5, 10, 15 minutes of trading, you'd be, sitting on a loss here. So good idea just to watch how trading plays out. And this one could rally back towards the middle, even towards its high towards the end of the day. So good one to watch, but sellers have certainly knocked this one down towards lows. So we'll see where it closes by the end of the day. Look, the numbers look good. I haven't really had a chance to pore over the report, but looks like sellers in control for now.
Yeah, it would seem like a good report. They beat views and they guided higher. I mean, I'm not sure. I didn't look at the details, but it seemed to be a fairly positive report. I'm
Yeah.
just going to show, yeah. And I'm just going to show a couple other things. Utilities, NRG. Again, I don't know how this was versus guidance. They reported numbers, sold off to start, but it's finding support. So it'd be great if it, could form sort of a high handle type of situation, let moving averages catch up like the 21-day line. And CEG, that one has been struggling. That was a big winner in 2024 and things, but that's still below the 50-day line. Chris, let's take a look at your stock, VRT.
Okay.
It's turned higher as the market has turned higher. So what is your take on this name?
Well, I like, it gapped up, pulled back a little bit, and then was trading very tightly the past few days. And so I opened a position yesterday and then trim part of it, and I'll probably add it back today, especially if it can take out the high from a few days ago. Just to just looking for things that are not completely being devastated by the market. And so it's held the gap, tested the low of the gap one day and then came back up, and then, like I said, had been trading very tightly. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, I'm not gonna go, with a 10% position. I'll probably push it up to 5%, but just trying to find the few things that are working.
Yeah, that's not easy. But AI infrastructure seems like a safe spot because they are spending a ton of money. They're not getting disrupted. This is what, they're buying all this stuff. And NVIDIA earnings will matter. I mean, NVIDIA earnings will matter for all these infrastructure firms, as well. And Vertiv does work with NVIDIA. So what NVIDIA has to say about if, about, Blackwell, about Rubin, the upcoming things, and I don't know how. I know Blackwell needs a lot of cooling. I don't know if Rubin will need as much. Presumably, they'll need a lot of cooling. And so anyway, so there's a lot of stuff there. Let's see here. And I'm just going to show the market. Market has improved. It's still, I mean, we're, sort of highs of the day, but again, we're just taking back and forth. So it's an up day after a pretty unpleasant day yesterday. The Dow is back above its 50-day line. IWM, which was getting down to the 50-day line, it's bouncing from that. RSP also up. So it's sort of a broad gain. We're only getting part of the losses from yesterday, but still up. So let's take a look at Stoke, Hatman.
Karen and many others were very interested in our take on this. And while the stock has been a great one over the past year or so. Nice move after that initial breakout. This recent base shows more of a mixed picture in my humble opinion. You know, if you had that gap down, for instance, in early January, Ed, and I'm sorry, I don't have the exact news on that. I would just guess it was either some kind of data that came out or a very influential sell side research analyst downgrade on the company. And yet it showed some nice resilience. So that's impressive to me. And I feel like if you were a very focused short-term trader in this, you could do well by looking at, for instance, that 34.47 buy point that happened in early February. You know, from that 37.34 peak until the last couple of days, I think you had a little mini cup with handle that's lodged inside that other handle. But just keep in mind, this is not Amgen. This is not Lilly or even Gilead or some of those other companies with you know, proven sales. We've talked about this one before, partly because look at that Q1 of 2025 results, 159 million, huge boost to their coffers, I'm sure. But after that, what's going on this year? Why is the street expecting the biggest net loss for the company history in at least 8 or 9 years? And let's just go to the weekly chart. This is where I find there's also some interesting nuggets to gain from this chart. You got the relative strength line hitting that blue dot. That's bullish. You had a recent base. I guess that was a legitimate cup with handle, Ed, the most recent one, because it was 6 weeks. Well, I mean, short for a cup with handle, but enough for a cup. But notice that, you know, in both situations, there were flaws in the base. One, you know, that first base was very V-shaped, and then the breakout really stalled. That set up the second base, but the second base doesn't have that typical nice contours and symmetry that you really like to see in a general cup. What also I don't like is how most, if not all, of the up weeks recently in STOK came in somewhat lighter volume. That first initial move past 14.15 in the third quarter of 2025 showed, you know, a initial weekly burst in volume that really is textbook. It's like it might not be in 100%, but it might be in 90, 95% of the examples that we show in Bill's books or in model stock analyses. And so you want to go with the percentages. And who knows, maybe this company's got something really, really amazing, and that would send it to a 10-bagger from 2 billion market cap to 20 billion. But I would just, you know, because it's a little more speculative, just be careful with your position size and try to learn as dang amount about what makes this company's technology really, really superior.
Yeah.
Can I just give a little more color on the reason the stock gapped down? The only reason I know this is the Stoke Therapeutics recently made it into the IBD 50 top 10. And so
Yes.
when it made it into the top 10, the reason the stock gapped down is there was a delayed phase three readout for an experimental drug that they're developing with Biogen, and it's a rare form of epilepsy called Dravet syndrome. And so there was just a delayed phase three readout for this drug, which caused the stock to gap down. But apparently it's there's still good potential for the drug. I'm not sure what caused the stock to rally back above the 50-day line, but they are in a partnership with Biogen for this drug. So that was the story why it gapped down. Obviously it is acting a lot better, so haven't heard anything, you know, further about this drug, but apparently it is still in trials.
Ken, let's
No,
stick
that
with
was
you.
great detail.
Yeah,
And
that
you
was
know,
great.
another reason why that was worth looking at Stoke was just like what Ken said. Despite the relative lack of earnings, it had virtually all of the other elements to boost it into the IBD 50. Frankly, I don't think I would have even paid any attention to this stock if it didn't make one of our key lists. So making a key list like the sector leaders. It might have been in sector leaders too at one point. Not sure, but definitely in the top 10 of IBD 50. And what we do on leaderboard is to annotate the charts, give a little bit of a summary on the chart on the company itself, and identify it as a potential winner. On top of all that, too, look too, Ed, at the biotech ranking 27. That's actually drifted a little bit lower. That's a little bit of concern. Still strong, but that's interesting to me.
Yeah. I mean, they've actually, I think the IBB and XBI look pretty good. They've moved sideways. So maybe it's just like they look good compared to like all the tech companies. I bet if you,
Yeah.
so it's a lot of these other, the sectors that are working coming up. So these have moved sideways, but I think that the groups look pretty good, but it is a good point that they are not, they aren't as high up as they were. Let's Ken, let's go over to Alcoa now.
Yeah. So I know Scott St. Clair was on yesterday talking about SCCO in the same industry group, but Alcoa, which is acting well, but Alcoa, is an interesting name too in the group. What has my eye is over the past six trading sessions prior to today, here's a stock that has rallied off lows for six straight sessions. It has closed up near its session high for six straight days. So it has shown buying demand with a rally off lows for six straight days. All this with an accumulation distribution rating of E. So while the daily chart, after it hit that high of 66.95, it has been a pullback in pretty heavy volume. So the stock is a good lesson. You can see why the accumulation distribution rating is E. You look back in over the past several days, and you can see this pullback to the 50-day moving average has come in pretty heavy volume. There's a lot of down days and very heavy volume. So that's typically not what you want to see when a stock pulls back to the 50-day line. Typically want to see that pull back in light volume. So that is a flaw. But again, over the past 6 days, I mean, this stock has shown some pretty good support. Several closes off lows. Now the stock did try to rally today. It pulled back down to the 60 level. It has fallen off highs, but now when you swing to the weekly chart, this is a really nice looking 7 week consolidation. So I like over the past few weeks, trading has started to tighten up near the 10 week moving average. Got some tight closes near that 10 week line. So overall, I think even though it has an accumulation distribution rating of E, the setup here looks pretty good. Now, so far this week, it's trading in a relatively tight range, and we'll see where it closes this week. But it's a name that I could see owning at some point. I don't have any exposure in the mining metal ores group. It's still a top-ranked group in the market. Obviously, SCCO is a big leader. AA has shown a huge rally in recent weeks, and I think both of these stocks are showing great action in the group. So I think AA is consolidating beautifully, and both are on my watch list. But I think AA's setup looks just as compelling as Southern Copper's at this point. So another name I'm watching.
No, it's Alcoa's been doing well for sure. Chris, let's take a look at GE.
Okay.
Broke out and trying to hold that buy point.
I guess, I still like to see volume on a breakout, and it was just, kind of limped over that pivot point. So it's not surprising that it's going back and forth here. I haven't done anything with it. But I feel like sometimes it really breaks out and starts running like it did back in April of last year. And so but the prior breakout, it broke out and then built another base. So I'm not sure what's going to happen here. I guess I'm not that interested in it right now because it just doesn't seem to have the power to go beyond this market.
Yeah, it's hard to do that right now. There's ITA is an also, GE is obviously a big component of that, but ITA is another way to play this. And that's been holding up, but hasn't made a ton of progress over the last several weeks either. Let's see here. David, let's take a look at Bloom Energy. I mean, it's had some wild couple of weeks. Every day is an adventure. Making a nice move. Is it actionable here or is it too extended? I don't know. I'm not sure what to, I don't know.
I can't hear you, Dave.
You're not muted, but just not hearing you.
Okay.
Ken, why don't you comment
Yeah.
about.
Yeah. So, boy, if you wanna take a shot with Bloom Energy today, it's probably actionable here, but boy, it is volatile. One thing I wanted to mention about Bloom Energy was, I think it was last week, early in the week, John Chambers, the former CEO of Cisco Systems, was on CNBC, and he was a guest, and he was talking about something completely different, but he did mention Bloom Energy, and saying that he was an investor in Bloom Energy. I don't know if he was a private investor or if he was an investor in a fund that owned Bloom Energy, but he was on air pounding the table on Bloom and saying what a great company it was and talking about the CEO. So I thought that was interesting. It is a stock that I've owned in the past. I don't own it currently. Very, very interesting technology, and great fundamentals. You did have a deceleration in revenue when they reported earnings not that long ago, and earnings slowed quite a bit as well. But the stock is still holding in there and making a move today and breaking out over some recent highs. Still needs to get over that all-time high of 176. But just obviously a high ATR stock, not for the faint of heart, and you just got to keep a tight stop on a name like this. But huge annual growth estimates, and I believe fund sponsorship is pretty solid here as well. Just know what you own, and if you're going to own a high ATR stock, you got to keep it on a really really tight leash. And you can see the lot of funds in the IBD Mutual Fund index in this stock, and look at the just the huge increases in fund ownership in recent quarters. So obviously a lot of growth fund managers really latching on to the growth story here. So lots of positive qualities with Bloom, but tough stock to handle, but has a lot of qualities that a lot of past stock market winners have had, no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Hatman, let's take a look at Next, Next Power.
Can you hear me this time?
I can hear you.
Yes.
Thank goodness. Sorry, guys. It's this input output shenanigans on my laptop. So nice action here, and especially in light of the Shoals obliteration, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really sh I'm kind of shocked by how bad Shoals dropped, because that for a thin small cap looked like it was a pretty good looking base setting up. But evidently, there's something in that report. You know, it's interesting here, Ed, too. Like, the Q4 earnings grew at a slower rate than sales, and that always is a red flag in my book. And so, you notice that, you know, maybe they had some issues with pricing. If we go
Well,
back to NX,
guidance was weak
oh,
too.
guidance
That
was
was,
weak. Okay,
yeah.
all right. Always forward-looking guidance so important. And then going back to NXT, let's compare the fundamentals. Similar issue that we obviously see in terms of the top line growth being okay. Recent the deceleration on the bottom line of concern. Nonetheless, this is, you know, to me, this action today and next power ed is really par for the course for a solar name. So you really have to, if you want to say buy at 112.74 at the top of that cup, try to get within a point or two, because these stocks are so whippy. They'll really try to shake you out. And I'm convinced that many market makers know the IBD methodology. They know that, and maybe they can see it with stop orders, or they know the personality of stock and the history of stock better than most of us. And so they'll try to drive stocks down, like something like NXT, to wing people out and then soak in the profits by bringing it back to a more fair value price. That's been happening for over a century. You read the Livermore's book, and you know those things happen. So, you know, Ed, to me, it's like it looks like it's in buy range, but to me, it's not.
It's a tough one. And the problem is that if you buy right at 113, it's sort of in the middle of all this. So it's
Yes.
not clear cut. So it's one of those things
Right.
that, and that's part of my issue with Bloom too, is it's like, well, where do you buy it? And then even though I like the look of it, you know, but anyway, it's just been, and also the market just makes me gun shy about anything. Yeah.
You know, that's a great comment, and that's something that I would often do with highly volatile stocks too, Ed. When it's not a mega cap where you know when it breaks out, oh, it's breaking out for real, and you're not going to be shaken out. And if I really really loved this company NXT or any company that you have out there that is as whippy and volatile, then you kind of have to set an alert or a limit order as close as possible to that 21-day, in this case with NXT, or maybe a couple pennies or 50 cents below the 21-day, and hope you get filled. It's like really putting that rod out in the ocean and trying to catch the marlin.
Yeah, and then what happens when you catch the
Then you, yeah,
marlin?
that's another story, right?
You
Yeah,
pet
yeah.
it.
So Chris, let's take a look at Micron and some memory names. First, and David was good to mention in the comments, is just on internally that consumer confidence index came out at a stronger than expected 91.2. The Econoday estimate was 88, which was also already higher. So a nice bump. I don't know what the underlying things, but a nice bump on that. So Micron, hey, we got a base forming, sort of, maybe, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm still holding it, and I've also got a downtrend line across the tops that it poked above today and then pulled back. So if I can you know, see it take out today's high, I might add a little bit just to keep building the position. So that's what I'm looking at doing. But I have a feeling it's, even if I do that, it probably won't take off. I'm thinking it needs some more time here.
And let's just look at a few others. There's WDC testing its 21-day line. I mean, it's been trading relatively tightly. It has a 3 weeks tight. So is there anything here or with STX, which is actually, you know, that one actually might be almost working on a quasi base here, come pretty close. And SanDisk, which is the hottest one, that's down today. That one also looks a little bit like Micron. Is any of these or that would interest you in adding or supplementing or
Well, I missed. I probably wouldn't be picking them up on these sorts of positions if they base out and offer another entry point like SanDisk did back in January. That would be great. But Especially the way this market is, it's too easy to get chopped up right now, trying to buy off of very, I guess, like entry points that are, even in a strong market, they might not work, and in this market, probably won't work.
And just like on SanDisk, this held a 540 from 725. I mean, it initially gapped up on earnings, then came right around. You don't know. This could easily fall to its 21-day line. Its 21-day line is down 10%. That's not enormous, but you wouldn't enjoy it if you bought it here. And the same goes with a lot of these names. NVIDIA earnings will be out there. If they say, you know what, we're not going to, maybe they have some issue. They say something that disturbed, like, oh, Rubin, it needs half as much memory. They won't say that. But if they did, you can imagine. I mean, I'm not, but if they did, you can imagine how that would affect the memory makers. Or tomorrow, if a China, if Apple says, you know what, we're going to use Chinese memory now. It's just too expensive. We're going to use memory in Chinese iPhones. We're going to use Chinese memory, memory, chips. And it's like, oh, and they're like opening up that competition. I just throwing those out there. You could see huge drops, and even if they're temporary, I mean, this was temporary, it came right back up, but didn't seem so temporary at the time, where a lot, when you're down, 30% in a week. Hatman, ALB is, it had an ugly sell-off on earnings, but it's righted the ship again here, working on a mini little base after a big run.
Yeah, ignore at your own peril in terms of profit potential. Absolutely agree. Even after nearly quadrupling from the low here, Ed, right? It bottomed out near a round number at 50, and it's almost got up to 200. And as you highlighted, the earnings always shakes up stocks, and yet it really showed a sturdy ship of movement around that 10-week line. So I would agree this is a watch list stock for me, and maybe even for leaderboard.
Yeah, and it lost money in 2025. It's picking up again, but the thing is, like, we actually lost money. But the thing is, with Albemarle and all the lithium makers, is that lithium prices have skyrocketed. But they tend to sell most of it in advance, so they're selling things what the prices were a year or two ago, or it's just turning around. So it takes a long time. But everybody knows that now the next range. I mean, now. Again, we talk about memory chips traditionally have been volatile in terms of their earnings. Well, lithium makers are very volatile. And so there's going to be an enormous profit. You can just see how it's gone from this up and down, which, is an issue. But that's why it's been rallying so much, is the prices they will benefit from it this year and next year.
That's really interesting, Ed, because yeah, as you're speaking, I'm looking at a trading economics 1-year chart on trading economics. That's a really nice site for free charts on various commodities. And lithium carbonate a year ago was under 80,000 a ton, currently at 152,000 a ton. So that is a ginormous move. I don't know what the 5-year looks like, but lithium also not far from the recent peak of just over $180,000 a ton. So that certainly feels like a tailwind, Ed.
Yeah, another way to play lithium, and there's other lithium out there, but another one is LIT, and there's a lot of Chinese names. This is one you would definitely want to dig into. It, yes, it has a tiny bit of Tesla, it has a little bit of BYD, which and stuff like that. So there's a few names, but a lot of the names, and it has some Albemarle, but a lot of the names you wouldn't be familiar with. But that is another way to play lithium and batteries to some extent. It is battery, so it's not all the same thing. I mean, higher lithium prices aren't necessarily good for the battery makers per se. So I don't want to mean it's not a direct play, but that's another way to go at it. Ken, let's take another look at Amerisports. It got up. As I say, like, there's always that kind of thing. It looked like, oh, here we're going positive, and it's like, but it didn't last. It just this is a situation where your strategy of, let me just see what it's like at the end of the day. Seems to be a pretty sound strategy in terms of, like, because I can see why somebody would have been excited. I'm getting into it. It's going to go up. It's going to go up.
Yeah, we've been in this name for a while, basically since December 9th, and it's basically literally trading right at our cost basis, right around 38.70. So and it's right at the 50-day moving average. So we'll give it a chance to test the 50-day moving average again. The bottom line and top line growth was there. The earnings guidance for Q1 was below expectations. They guided Q1 revenue 22 to 24% growth. The fact set was for 22% growth, so the Q1 revenue guidance, the midpoint was a percentage point ahead. So, it's just sort of a lackluster reaction to the guidance, but it's holding support at the 50-day. So, basically, right at our cost basis. We'll see how if support plays out here, but kind of a disappointing response so far, but not a terrible quarter. Hope we were hoping the guidance would be a little better. I think their full year earnings guidance was also a little bit below expectations as well. So I don't know if there are margin issues or what, but we'll just see how things play out here.
Let's see here. Chris, let's take a look at MOD. You looked at VRT, which made a run and now is trying to clear some area. Well, maybe a little vision quest with Modine here too.
I mean, that's made a big move off of earnings and continued up. We've got the ants. So anytime you see the ants, that's usually implies that it needs a little more time, but it's acting really well today. I can't say that I'm eager to chase it here, but it could work.
Yeah, and like everything else, AI infrastructure firms, we'll see what NVIDIA has to say. I mean, that's going to be just be really important. I mean, it just, I mean, we cared about the other stuff out there, but that's just something that matters.
So speaking of which,
Yeah.
Ed, I did start
Oh,
that
that
poll.
poll. Thank
Do you
you.
own NVIDIA? Yeah. And right now we've had 72% participation. Thank you, everyone. Hope others will get off the fence and make a choice. But right now, currently, the yesers are at 42%, the knowers are at 47%. And no, but I may own shares via a mutual fund at 11%. So we'll keep that running for a little bit
Sure, I
longer.
own it in a mutual fund in that regard. Yeah, I mean, there's got to be something that
Most
has it.
likely.
Yeah, it's but yeah. So, going a different thing is that okay? The Bitcoin miner turned AI data center plays, which again are going to be influenced by NVIDIA, but SIFR, that one is up.
CIFR, right?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Cipher mining that had weak results, as I recall, or at least at the very best, mixed, but it's rallying. Okay, that's still below levels and all that. There's IREN, which had mixed or weak results. That's moving up. But I do want to bring up one name, Wolf. That one is looking interesting. That has earnings in a couple of days, but that one looks like the best of these things. Now, these are wild. This is wild. So no, but I just wanted to bring this name up to you.
Yeah, I like how you look at all those in terms of threes. This one right now make to me almost looks as volatile as Bloom Energy, doesn't it? I mean, look at
I'm sure. I mean,
the
it looks
daily
like that
moves,
ATR is.
five,
Look at
ten
those.
percent. Yeah. Look from 11 to 17 in 4 days. Wow, that's really something. So here again, I feel already jittery, even though I don't own the stock. If I were to buy it here, and then therefore, I feel like something like this, you try to pick the level you think where it will get support, whether it's a round number or a moving average, and stick with that.
Yeah. Ken, let's take a look at ESLT. Elbit Systems. I was already looking terrible. Elbit Systems, Israeli defense firm.
Yeah, it looks like a little breakout over a shelf or even a bounce off the 10-week moving average if you go to the weekly chart here. Yeah, it's almost like a test, first test in spirit of the 10-week line. So Probably looks a little extended after a bounce off the 10-week line, but if you look at it as a just a maybe a little breakout from a short consolidation, maybe still in a buy zone here. Yeah, it makes sense to own, some stocks in the aerospace and defense, group at this point. Still a very strong group in the market here. So Elbit is kind of a tricky one. So you can again look at it as a, breakout from a short consolidation. In that sense, it's probably still actionable here. And that's the way I would probably look at it here. I know we've looked at ITA, the ETF that recently bounced off the 10-week line as well. We have GEV on leaderboard, which has been performing very well. So there's been
You mean
broad-based
GE or GEV? Because GEV.
GEV, yeah,
Oh, okay.
GEV, yeah, which actually technically isn't in the aerospace and defense group, but yeah, ESLT, breakout from a short consolidation still looks pretty strong here, but absolutely an outstanding group that's still leading quite well.
And I missed this in the comments. And Tim, thank you for putting this in. And I know that I've been looking around, I haven't had time to look around for Anthropic, their commentary, but they said, we're not building all this alone, and showed all the companies like CRM. Well, CRM, which has earnings this week, that is getting a boost. Okay, that's up. I mean, so we'll see. CRM has earnings. It's going to be hard for all these companies to have like earnings, but what are they going to say? Because obviously these companies aren't going to lose their business today. They're not going to lose it next quarter. So you can't say, well, our business is strong next quarter, but people may not care. But, is this an important day? We're seeing some things like ServiceNow, just as a couple of names, Adobe. Some of these things that have really, really been beaten down, not much, but still, these things are well below their 10-day lines. There's nothing here, so you're getting a boost, but just a tiny sliver compared to what we lost. So, but IGV is clearly a reason why things are doing well. IGV is having a gain here, but oh my goodness, what a disaster area that is. That's down 40 points and you score a three, unlike in basketball. It's like, okay, it's for you. SMH, that one looks a lot better, but we are seeing gains by those two main things. And we're seeing some strength and well, the mega caps are sort of mixed, but Apple has been doing pretty well. And so Apple's having a boost here. Chris, is there any interest in something like Apple? Which has had some volatility around here. I think there was, what was it, their concerns? Oh yeah, delays about, I think there was, what was it, their concerns? Oh yeah, delays about their AI, that there might have some more delays. Then I think there was some new news about AI and stuff, but that one hit it. It's coming back.
I mean, at least their fundamentals are looking better. For so long, they've been in the single digits and we're going back and forth there. So it's not a stock that I've traded in a long time, but I mean, if you're into this, I mean, it's retaking the 50-day in a handle, and this is a good early entry, I'd say.
Let's see here. David, let's take a look at SharkNinja. I mean, you could, yeah, this one sort of interesting, when it moved off of on earnings, that was an upside reversal. That was a really nice move. I'm trying to figure out exactly where one could buy it here, but showed some nice earnings report ultimately, and holding up pretty well.
Totally agree. It's an interesting chart, and I'm glad you brought this one up. This one appeared on my screens too, partly because of that relative strength line. It looks like the relative strength line recently hit a 52-week high. And this can be a frustrating stock, right? Because you had that pretty good looking cup with handle. What was the buy point on that cup with handle? Does it say 118? Okay, so around 118. And then it shakes people out right at the 50 days. So good example of a stock where sometimes it's a second try that scores the points.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to think because I was wondering here because there was maybe you could have bought it here. I mean, it was tough because things are swinging up and down. It's like, oh, can I trust this? It's like, is it really going to hold? But it did. But like when it broke the downtrend of this, you could treat this as sort of a high handle or a short consolidation next to it. I'm not sure where would you be buying, where, or would you want it to consolidate some more, come back to the 50-day line, or just get above 129? What would be something that could
I think now is legit because it's sort of like today's action is inside that earnings positive day, Ed. And that earnings day 2 weeks ago was a very bullish upside outside day too. And so if you were still a little suspicious of the action, then you could have waited for this now that we know. A pullback that's been more constructive, lighter, and getting somewhere to 21 days. So I agree with you, Ed, that 129.19 can serve as an alternate handle buy. The question is, are there other names that are similar to SharkNinja doing well? So let's look at WSM, Williams Sonoma. And I think of SharkNinja and all their gadgets. I wonder how WSM is doing. I wonder how Urban and Ralph Lauren. I'm watching Ralph Lauren really closely because that one had a breakout fake out, RL, breakout fake out there, and now you see it's trying to right itself. So it feels like a little bit of a it's a bull with a little bit of squirrely stripes in it.
Yeah, I mean that's prominent even with things like, oh, it's apparel, oh, it's SharkNinja. It's like it's not AI, it's not like that. It's like it's working the relative strength line, and it's still just so tough. And maybe it works out ultimately, but you don't know because you say, oh, it'll bounce right back. It's like, well, Urban didn't bounce right back. I mean, it didn't. I mean, obviously, that had a really sharp drop, but you can't tell yourself, aha, it fell, it'll bounce right back. It's like, well, maybe it won't. I mean, you just have to look at IGV and say, oh, yeah, those multi, no way it could sell off. Look at that. It's bouncing back. I'm going to get into this. Oh, yeah, it's coming back. I'm getting into this. Oh, yeah, it's coming back. I'm getting into this. It's just,
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great point. And if you go back to Urban, Ed, you look at the stock, obviously we know that it's weaker. The 45 relative strength rating can't hold a candle to SN, and neither can its fundamentals. Even though Urban is a has a great Anthropologie chain, and they've got some other unique stores, including the secondhand women's apparel, maybe men's apparel too. The overall growth of factors are not as bullish as going back to SharkNinja. SN has perhaps a stronger record of innovation. The reason I'm talking about this is too because like I these are kind of the little qualitative factors that we have to consider when we ultimately decide where to put our hard-earned money. And are you going to put 50K in SharkNinja or 50K in Urban? These are very tough, serious decisions to make. And when it comes down to it, you really want to focus on those that really have that amazing fundamentals, not only in terms of the size of the sales and earnings, but also that growth rate. This is actually something I'm going to address in some form with Scott St. Clair, my future partner in crime for an upcoming webinar. The roadmap to a winning trade or to a successful trade. And I've been doing a lot of re-research on fundamentals and technicals for the big winners and hope to share more insight there.
That's great. That'll be that, yeah, March 14th, right?
March 14th, Saturday. It's a 3 hour sacrifice of your weekend.
Yeah, well, I wish I were doing that. I'm going to a baby shower on March 14th, and so I think it's a
Very
two-hour
good.
drive either way. So it's a big haul, but let's
That sounds
see.
fun, Ed. Congrats.
My mother-in-law gets to be a great grandma for the first time, so very nice.
Very nice.
Ken, let's take a look at BTSG, BrightSpring. I mean, this is hanging in there, but results aren't far away.
Yeah, Friday before the open, and stock continues to show excellent relative strength. So possibly could look at this one as a call option trade. fairly low priced stock, and really showing just uncanny strength, trading tightly and holding near highs. So obviously a lot of optimism that we could see a nice report here. Excellent growth growth prospects, and you know, this is the type of setup that we would look at, you know, for an earnings option trade. So we can get a premium that's you know, 4% of the stock price. We could we could take a look at this one, but you know, I think it acting very well ahead of earnings.
All right. Chris, we're not going to look at this one, but it's going to set up to set the tail. Primoris, it is way off lows. Well, that was a scary drop. Rode is looking, it may be looking a bit. I mean, if you have comments you want to say on Primoris, but that to me, it's like I'd like to see that settle down a little bit, catch up. But Rode is making a move here.
I took a look at it. I mean, part of it is it's only traded 37,000 shares. So again, this doesn't trade a whole lot, and it can be very gappy intraday. But it is breaking that trend line, and I'm not going to do anything with it today. But this looks you know, this looks good. I wish it just had more volume.
Yeah, and it's also, again, as we always say, like this one also may move on Nvidia. I mean, you're buying this, it's you're not getting diversity necessarily. I mean, you're getting something, but you're not getting outside of the AI theme. So just keep that in mind. Let's see there. Sorry, I was commenting on another Slack channel. My
And
mistake.
by the way, I just wanted to just say bright swing, bright spring that we just looked at BTS G for an for a call option trade on earnings would be the worst possible candidate, because it's very thinly traded. So there's a not only is there a very wide spread between the bid and the ask, but also the strike prices are in spreads are in increments of five. So not only is it very thinly traded, but the spreads are very wide. So it goes 30, 35, 40, 45. So just a not a good candidate at all.
I gotcha. Let's see here. Hammond, let's put on David, let's put on your David Ryan hat, and let's take a look at
I can only
AHR.
attempt, and
Yeah.
that's too big a task.
That is like that's a big hat.
That's
That's a big hat, I'll admit.
a
Yeah.
huge hat. Yeah, you wouldn't
But
see my face if I put that on. Although, you know, next month I do have the hat of all hats that I'm just going to wear for a quick second to celebrate all our Irish American friends of St. Paddy's Day. That'll be coming. That'll be fun. That'll be fun.
yeah, so let's see here. But what do you think about AHR is what I meant
Oh,
too.
I'm
So
sorry. AHR. Yeah. No, this is been a great trade for Dr. Ryan, who's in fact visiting his grandkids this week, and therefore he's not here. We're trying to make sure that he's on the show later in the week next week. So he won't be on Tuesday, but he says he definitely will be on next week. So in the buy range, Ed, in my book, especially for a stock as calm, this one feels like I'm listening to transcendental meditation music right now when I look at this chart, and which is great because it's getting support in all the right places. Short term to 10-day, maybe it'll test a 21-day at some point. That flat base formed just as it kind of noodled around that 50-day, excellent relative strength. I love the fact too that it feels like it doesn't take much incremental revenue growth to drive the earnings. That's really fantastic. I like that. So, who knows? I could be a buyer by the end of the day.
yeah, it seems to have had some losses, but turning more profitable, solid growth in the next couple of days. Welltower is not exactly the same, but
Yeah, I was also going to think about doing this one for today's show, Ed, actually. Well, your great mind, I can only assume try to simulate yours,
We can wear the same hat.
and
It's a
maybe
small
on
small
this
hat,
one.
like maybe together we can.
There you go, EC. And also, what I like about this one too, Ed, is the relative strength line poking into new high ground, stock pulling back a little bit, but respecting that upward bullish gap. And you see now the 21-day over the 200 price level. You have a company that I think based out of Toledo, Ohio, not far from where I grew up, in the town of Lima, Ohio. And Toledo is where this company is based. And look at the beautiful uptrend that this is that has had. Unbelievable. I wish we all had this one 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's made a nice run, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, buy some diversity. Let's see here. This might also be a leaderboard stock. I can't remember now. I get confused, but Ken, Viking Holdings. I guess they have earnings next week, though I hadn't confirmed that myself. But
Yes,
okay.
yeah, they March 3rd, I have them coming out with earnings, and excuse me, yeah, this is a stock that we added on January 29th, so it's been on a little less than a month, and holding a decent profit in Viking, so we'll this is a full position, so we added it, I believe, as a half, and then we increased it soon after as a full position. So looking at this one as probably the leader in the cruise line operator industry group, and really just trading well above its short-term moving averages here. So we'll see what the earnings look like early next week. I think it's either Monday or Tuesday before the open. But great annual earnings estimates, and you can look down at the bottom. You see several quarters in a row of great earnings and top line growth, relative strength line up near highs. Great outperformance, and really trading well here. A breakout that has worked, and holding above short-term moving averages. So like the way it's trading, and we'll hold out hope for a nice earnings report.
Yeah, it is going to be before the open on Tuesday, next Tuesday. It is interesting. Garciel, what sort of got things going, but they've sold off more. I don't know what is it that's happening. A lot of travel names have come off. I don't know if these longer distance names need more oil, but that seems like a lot. I mean, it's not like quite like airplanes, but I'm not sure. But RCL has come off, CCL. I mean, that hasn't come off as much, but it clearly doesn't have the relative strength performance that we've
You know,
seen from,
guys, Reuters just published a story about how all of these cruise operators are diverting routes away from places like Puerto Vallarta
Oh,
in the
yes.
aftermath of the killing of the successful operation to take out the second key man in Mexican drug cartels,
That
El
certainly could have
Mencho.
hit those names
Yeah.
yesterday. That might have been why. I didn't think about that.
Yes. Yeah. So according to Reuters, Norwegian Cruise, it's Norwegian Bliss Ship will skip the planned Puerto Vallarta call. Carnival's Royal Princess cruise bypassed Puerto Vallarta and extended its stop overnight in Cabo San Lucas, and they're doing those kind of things.
Probably a good idea. I also noticed that jets, another thing is that oil prices and stuff, I mean, that is also coming to pressure. So we saw some of the other cruise lines and jets, and I don't know if there's any kind of thing with Mexico or if it's just, if it's higher oil prices and such. But the airlines, which were looking so strong for a while, and travel was all moving up, at least the actual travel, not the travel sites. So those have come under pressure. Let's see here. Chris, here's another ledgy one for you, Sphere.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, big move on earnings, and it's trading tightly right here. So let's go back to the daily. Let me see also on my chart. Yeah, I mean, it's getting support at the 10-day. In a stronger market, I'd be all over something like this. I guess I'm a little, I guess unwilling to jump into some of these moves like this. I'd rather be buying off the 21 day.
Got it. Got it. And now maybe we could hold, maybe it can catch up because, but it is still 9% above that, so it needs some time. Let's see
Yeah,
here.
if it continues to go sideways, I mean that would look really impressive. And then if it pops above those recent highs, definitely a place to get in or add.
All right, let's see here. A couple of chip makers for you, Ken. Monolithic Power and Texas Instruments.
Oh, the dating game, right, Ed?
Interesting. I'm wondering, so Texas Instruments, this blue shaded area, I'm wondering what that buy area is referring to. That's not referring to a handle buy area, I don't think.
That's a
Texas
cup
Instruments.
without a handle, so it's the high of the handle there. If you hover over it, it should give you the info. If you hover over the base.
It's the cup base, yeah, for
So
Texas Instruments.
221.69 if you see the pivot there, and then you can also see the marked high.
Oh, I see the high, the left side high there.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So M-Power is probably the higher relative strength stock, I assume. Although Texas Instruments is looking pretty good. With Texas Instruments, I'd probably wait for it to break out over this, over this recent high here, this high handle type of structure. MPWR, I think, is probably the better setup here. It's got a better relative strength line, and again, better relative strength rating. And I would look at 1250 as a perfectly legitimate pivot, and almost like a kind of a shelf type structure here. So I would definitely air with MPWR here.
All right, and obviously, again, NVIDIA will have an impact, presumably, on these names. Let's see here. Chris, let's take a look at TJX. Earnings tomorrow morning, and I
Right.
forgot to.
Let's look at the monthly chart. And I mean, since 2022, I mean the RS line's a little bit higher, but basically it's just kept up with the S&P. So and you see how it, pulls back quite a bit. So let's go back to the daily here. So I think that this one is better to buy on pullbacks than breakouts. And you can see from the last base or the last two bases where they broke out and immediately pulled back. So I guess I'd be looking for a pullback to the 50-day and buying it off of there.
Yeah, and just as I'm about to talk about pullbacks, last couple of earnings reports, it's given up gains, it's
Right.
like, and so just be watching for that. And the previous one here, it sold off. So last year earnings reports haven't been great, especially after the opening bell, as well. So
But
let's see.
if you look back in November where it pulled back and it retook the 21 day, and then it had a nice run. And so at that point, I mean, it can be a good swing trading stock at times. And so I would rather buy pullbacks.
Got it. And I mentioned some of the names that'll be coming out if tomorrow morning and or tonight. There's also GMED, which reports tonight. That one is interesting. You could almost argue, I think, maybe that this would be an area because that's the bulk of the base, except for this one weird area here. And it would be pretty close to the prior buy point, which, probably wasn't valid anymore, but still something to look at. So that's one that I think investors should be paying attention to. Better earnings again are tonight. Let's see here. David, let's take a look at Embraer.
I think that it's actionable. If you look at the 10-week line on the weekly chart, it's probably closer to the 10-week line than it is at the 50-day right now. Yeah, so it's been kind of hugging that 10-week line for a while. And so I think it is actionable here. And you can use the low from 3 weeks ago as a stop. Could you click on that second down week in which it tests the 10-week there? Yeah, so 68. So from 73, 5 points, that's about a 7-8% stop loss there. Certainly proven itself and a good way to play XUS.
Very good. Let's see here. Ken, let's take a look at KLAC. And honestly, a number, this one had a big sell-off on earnings. It has a long consolidation minimum, but there's other names, LRCX, there's ASML, there's AMAT, which I think is more extended, but there's sort of the KLAC, ASML, and LRCX are all sort of have, sort of formed mini consolidations. This one may be the most volatile of the three.
Yeah, I think the chip equipment group is right up there at the top of our industry group rankings, and I think they're still ASML. We went with recently on leaderboard. A lot of them still look actionable. ASML was a 3 weeks a 3 weeks tight. You can see it's bumping up against the 1500 level, still trading near that 1493 3 weeks tight entry. KLAC is just a test of the 10-week moving average. So if you look at the weekly chart here again, sharp heavy volume pullback to the 10-week line, but then as it came down and tested and reversed higher, it did so in heavy volume. So even though there's some erratic action here, to me, the stock still looks actionable here. This is just a first test and some tight trading here. So I think the stock looks I don't think you're buying an extended stock here. It's just a good first test of the 10-week line.
Okay. Let's see here. Chris, let's take a look at PKE. This is the name.
That's so funny. I was just looking at it because I saw it in the
Oh,
in the Q&A.
That's
Absolutely.
pretty thin, guys. Yeah, a little too
Yeah, I
thin.
mean that it only has 6 million in dollar volume, and usually, 20, 25 million is the lowest. I usually, for my own trading, look at 70 million and above. It's, there's been a big acceleration in the last quarter, where it had single digit sales. Now they're at 20%, and doesn't seem like it's followed much because it doesn't have estimates there going forward. But I mean,
Not many funds have, that hasn't picked up either. That may change, but yeah.
yeah, right. But if it had more more liquidity, this could be a good spot again. When it retook the 21-day, that could have been an early entry as well. So on that day. I mean, except for it being thin, it looks good.
All right. And I'm going to wrap up in just a moment, but I just want to bring up another name. There's so many stocks. I was so busy getting the news, I didn't gather all the earnings that are coming up that are after the close. ATRO is another name that Astronics that has been doing pretty well, traded very tightly last several weeks. So that'll be interesting to see how that name plays out after the close. The market having a decent day. Q's moving up, trying to get up to the 21-day line. Baby steps for that. Dow is back above the 50-day line, not convincingly, but it's a back above. SPY, that's trying to get above the 50-day line. It's pretty close. RSP, having a solid day here. QQQE. Again, up to 21-day line IWM. Solid all there. And just back on the tech, IGV, the death spiral has been halted for a day, or sorry, not a day, an hour. SMH, that one looks good. That one is acting very well. That's another way to play all this because a lot of these names are extended, like the memory plays or the chip equipment short consolidations. There's NVIDIA, but this is one to watch out for. And you know, some people were asking about it. TSM looks great. I'm not, that's pretty extended now. But obviously TSM is a way to play it too. You don't have to worry about will NVIDIA be the winner? Will AMD be the winner? Will Broadcom be the winner? TSM's a winner, you know, in that scenario. So just wanted to bring that up. Okay, but NVIDIA, obviously, earnings tomorrow, that'll be just huge. AMD, that is up 7%, but it has a lot of work to do. BWXT, you know, disappointing after the open. VRT, you know, that's sort of holding tightly. NVIDIA partner, AI infrastructure play. Stoke, that's trading near a buy point. AA, Ken made a good point about the closing well the last several days. GE trying to hold a buy point. Yeah, it's coming off lows. There's that. NXT, that's holding in the buy zone. Bloom Energy doing very well, making a nice move, continuing gains. It's 32% above the 50-day line, though. There is that. GEV has done very well for itself. Micron and a number of those memory plays are sort of in consolidations, but they're not there yet. ALB, that's moving up. Our, you know, there's some clearing certain things here on a short consolidation. MOD, trying to clear this very short area. AS, trying to hold the 21-day line. It's held the 50-day line so far, but still disappointing. Earnings reaction. Wolf, earnings in a couple of days though, but this is one of those Bitcoin miners turned AI data centers. Apple, nice move here, arguably actionable as it breaks the downtrend of a handle close to the 50-day line. SharkNinja has been acting pretty well. Road breaking the downtrend of a sort of a high handle in here. BTSG is acting well, but they have earnings coming up. VIK is acting well. They have earnings in a week. IHAHR, that's just holding in a buy zone, letting the moving averages try to catch up. And with all that, Ken, final thoughts, tickers from you.
Yeah, just a couple of other names that I'm watching for earnings after the close today. I believe SPXC.
Another one. Sorry about that. Thank you.
Yeah, this is another AI adjacent company, kind of holding right in a buy zone here, among other things, are another provider of cooling services to data systems. Of course, we recently heard from Comfort Systems, FIX, another provider of cooling services to data systems. So, you know, so really seeing a lot of great earnings reports from these AI adjacent companies. So SPXC, they report after the close today. So very, very thinly traded again in the options market. So that's something to keep in mind. And then, you know, tomorrow, along with NVIDIA after the close, FTAI Aviation is also reporting Wednesday after the close. And look at the tight trading in this name. And you know, this is a company again in late December, second half of December, I think they came out and said, you know, it's a company that leases commercial jet engines. This is kind of their core business. But they said, you know what, we've got so many jet engines, we're going to start to take these jet engines and turn them into turbines. And these turbines are going to start to power data centers. So they're going to be starting productions of these things. They can turn them around in 30 to 45 days, turn them into 25 megawatt turbines. And they haven't started selling them yet, but that's going to be the plan in 2026. So we're going to hear from them tomorrow night and probably hear more details about when these things are going to, you know, go into production. And just like the way this thing is trading. So I don't own the stock yet, but I'm going to certainly be listening to what this company says when they report tomorrow. Been a long time leader, and you look at the growth at the bottom. You know, been really delivering strong results for quite some time, and it's been a long time leader. So in terms of the market, it's turning into a decent day. I think indexes are still challenged here below the 50-day line, but seeing some good action again underneath the surface here. We're still, like I said, a little over 50% invested on leaderboard, but we may find some opportunities to go long today. We'll see. I'll be talking to Hatman after the show and looking through our screens and see if we see anything interesting. So got some money to put to work. We'll see how we end today.
All right. And I hadn't noticed that somebody brought it up. Andrea, thank you. But SanDisk, I guess there was a Citron short report, or at least that Citron reporting that it's short. So far it hasn't hit it. Doesn't mean it won't, but it's something to note out there for SanDisk. David, final thoughts, tickers from you.
Yeah, I really like what Ken said in those final comments. And just to kind of add to what he said, could you go back to the queues, Ed, please? The queues. It's been up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. It reminds me of times when in the big picture, I would write about how the market indexes based on an IBD chart kind of looks like those barbershop poles with the red and blue, just up and down, up and down, up and down. It's a little confusing. And yet this seems pretty normal action for the market after some really strong gains going all the way back to the end of 2022. I would adjust my overall bullish outlook if we saw a big close below 600 and a test, possible test of the 200 day, which is still not far away. And I think it's interesting that you can go now to GMIAB on the NASDAQ side, that we've seen a little bit better breadth. I don't know what the numbers are in terms of advancers versus decliners today, but likely, this is holding up not too bad given the real pummeling of the AI impacted software names. And so if we look at names like CLS, Celestica, that's in a base. That seems like it's doing nothing wrong, although it's, spending a little more time below the 50-day. We look at Credo, CRDO. This is one that I think Sanjay, another one that he had brought up. I'm not sure if this one is as healthy as CLS because you see it's struggling to hold that 200-day, and the 50-day is now dropping. I'd watch this one very closely. I'm glad Sanjay and others brought this one up with earnings coming up in 6 days. NVIDIA, do you own shares of NVIDIA? Thank you very much for everyone who participated. 84% participation. We have great participation. 42% said, yes, I do own NVIDIA. 46% said no. And 11% said, I may own shares in a mutual fund. So kind of a not sure. And I think these are good numbers generally for going long in the long term with NVIDIA. I still feel that they are exploring new levers of growth. Yesterday's Wall Street Journal had a very interesting article. I don't know if you saw this one, Ed, but they are going back into the PC market because they want to power up the AI capabilities of personal computers and laptops, and they want to be part of that. So they have now a partnership with Intel and some other companies. And so, not to say that that could be as a forceful a driver of fundamentals for NVIDIA, but it's interesting that they're thinking of ways to continue to innovate and thrive. So overall, I'm still quite bullish, but also keeping a nice wad of cash in my two main portfolios, ready to use it when I feel the market is going to turn.
Very good. Thank you very much. And good point about, yeah, NVIDIA does keep on looking for places to enter new markets, new chips. It is not sitting on its laurels. Chris, final thoughts, tickers from you.
Did we take a look at Kava?
No, I see that some people were asked about that one. So yeah, I
Yeah,
figured we're going
because
to get to
they're
it.
reporting after the close. And I guess, I'm not wild about how earnings have slowed down, and in the last quarter were negative. Sales growth has been at 20%. after, being in the 30% range for a long time. And with all that, they are still, I know we don't talk about PE so much, but their PE, if you can scroll up, still, 124 or 5 times. So that's not really the type of PE when you've got, slowing earnings like that. But it'll be interesting to see what it does. And I guess my, I've mentioned this a couple times, but the last few times I've been to a CAVA, there hasn't been a line, and you just walk right in, and this is at dinner time. So that's kind of made me less interested in it, because it used to be a line out the door when it was rallying up there. But it'll be interesting to see what it does, and
Ken was on mute, but he was just repeating delicious, delicious food. And
well.
next time you, Chris, are in LA, maybe Ed, you, Ken, and I can meet at the CAVA in Culver City, right across from the old Chipotle that got run out by CAVA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be
All
good.
right. Fair enough. Let's
Yeah, and
do
so
it.
when the restaurant growth story, if the expansion story slows down, restaurants really struggle. Like, and Wing, you can see how, even though some of the numbers, but yeah, once the growth started slowing on Wing, and it still has a 61 PE because it just takes forever to have that go eat with earnings going up. So that Wing had an enormous PE. Also, watch, it does seem like some restaurants lately, some have surged on earnings and then gives up the gains. Now, that's not crazy. The market has sort of been give and take, but Wingstop and Bros are a couple of names that initially had positive reactions. I mean, very initially, and then saw that fade. So, but again, that goes with any earnings report, especially in a choppy market like that. Stocks go up, and that could be NVIDIA, that could be all sorts of things. They could go TJX, they could go up 10% and then be down 5% at the end of the day. So, just something to keep in mind. I know we kept you a little longer today. There's so much to go out over, and I didn't realize it was almost 8 by the time before that. We'll have today's show up at investors.com/IVDLive soon, and then a few hours later we'll attach the recap, and that'll include a link to our edited Q&A as well as our ready and watch lists. Allie and Ken Shreve will have the Stock Market Today video after the close. Allie will be back in the host chair, I believe, tomorrow for IVD Live. So hope everyone has a great trading day, and we will see you tomorrow.